this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Welcome to Just Another Review Podcast, or JARP for short. I'm one of your two hosts, Russ.
I just want a girl, let me hit it on a work day. I don't think my dick has grown at all since the first grade.
Sean? Sean?
Oh, sorry, I'm just freestyling. Little Dicky style. What I mean to say is, and I'm Little Dicky. I mean Little Shawnee. I mean Sean. I'm just Sean.
Just Sean. Come just on Sean. Now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, sorry. Well, please send us your emails at jarppodcast, J-A-R-P, podcast at gmail.com, and let us know what you think about the show or how I may have offended you in this or our previous episodes. So fill up that email with those. Anyways, also, we're on Instagram now. You can check us out at JARP, J-A-R-P, underscore podcast. And yeah, we'll soon we'll get some dicky pics up there, for sure.
Little dicky pics on the podcast.
Yeah, we'll get some little dicky pics up there.
And this Instagram podcast is meant to be a companion for you post-Instagram episode. No, just joking. This podcast is meant to be a companion for you post-Instagram episode, where we will be talking and spoiling the plot lines of the first episode of a particular streaming service. Hope you guessed which one we're going to do. We then rate it and let you know if we're interested in the series or not.
This episode, thanks to a friend of the podcast, Jason, will be reviewing Dave, episode one on FX. So if you haven't seen this already, give us a pause, go watch it, or you are warned that there are spoilers ahead. But alongside Dave, we'll also be reminiscing down memory lane with the 1993 film CB4.
Here we go, boys.
Boy, yeah. Pew, pew, pew. Yeah. Tell us about Dave.
Oh, okay.
Well, we got a bit from Jason last episode, who wrote in, our one and only fan. No, we have more than one fan. We have three.
We have three.
And
fans. I always thought maybe this is the part where we could sing These Are the Daves I Know.
Sure.
These are the Daves I Know. These are the Daves I Know. These are the Daves I Know I Know. These are the Daves I Know. So if we do together, we'll do the first two of them. And then you do These are the Daves I Know I Know. These are the Daves I Know. And then I'll go into my little shtick. Okay.
Okay, but I don't know the actual two first Daves.
No, just all you have to do is These are the Daves I Know I Know. These are the Daves I Know. We'll do that together. Yeah. And then you go, mm-hmm. These are the Daves I Know I Know. These are the Daves I Know by yourself. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
These are the Daves I know.
These okay, are the Daves I Know. What?
Okay, here we go. Yeah, exactly.
Three. Russ is laughing. Three. Are you going to do this serious?
Yeah, here we go.
Because, this was your idea.
These are the Daves I know.
These are the Daves I know. These are the Daves I Know I Know. These are the Daves I Know.
Dave Bird, he's got a little dick. He's got pretty funny songs like Pillow Talk's pretty sick.
Yeah, man. These are the Daves I Know I Know. These are the Daves
Pillow
I Know.
Pillow Talking is okay, let me try this again. Ready? Dave Bird, he's got a little dick. He's got pretty funny songs like Pillow Talking's pretty sick. I did it.
These are the Daves I Know I Know. Yeah, these are the Daves I Know.
So happy with myself.
Nice.
Yes, Sean, we are reviewing the first episode of season one of Dave on FX. Who's in it? Well, Dave Bird is in it. You may know him by his alias, Lil Dicky.
They should have just called this show Lil Dicky.
Well, Sean, we're going to talk about that. We are going to talk about that.
Why they didn't call it Lil Dicky?
Yeah, 100%, Sean, 100%.
Oh, you look like you're upset. Why are you upset that we're talking about this? I know.
This is my excited face.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited.
We're going to talk about stuff. Like, you're saying stuff we're going to talk about.
Thanks for prodding me, Sean.
Yeah, but thanks for prodding me. And
Prodding me.
Let's put it on the shelf and take it off the shelf in a little bit. Also, you know who else is in it? Taylor Mishak.
Okay.
Let me see if I pronounced her name correctly. Mishak, I said it right. It's Polish for little bear. And she plays Allie. And then we've got Andrew Santino, who is Little Dicky's friend, Mike, and Travis
Bennett. Ginger, right? The ginger.
Yeah.
The ginger. He's quite ginger. Everything's ginger. His eyebrows, his beard.
Yeah.
Guess he's like.
And a little bit downstairs, too.
Who knows?
No, I do.
You do?
Yeah. Travis Bennett plays Els, and Gata plays Gata.
Gata actually plays Gata.
Gata is playing himself, which he had to audition for. So there you go. It's created by Dave Bird, who we've been talking about, little Dickie, and Jeff Schaefer. Jeff Schaefer has been a part of such productions as Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and The League. A quick synopsis I stole from the Wikipedia. A neurotic mid-20s suburbanite is convinced he's destined to be one of the greatest rappers of all time. Now he's got to prove it to everyone else. We're looking at episode one, The Gander, and the plot is Dave meets Gata and tries to get YG on one of his songs. Sean, I didn't even know.
Oh, wait. What? Did you write that?
No, I didn't. I stole it. I just said I stole it from the internet.
No, you said you stole the one part.
I stole everything. Everything's stolen. I am admitting to it. I'm not claiming that I wrote any of it.
Mm.
Except now I'm only speaking from the heart.
Mm.
I was an ignoramus when it came to Little Dicky. I had no idea who Little Dicky was. When we read the email on the podcast last week, that was the first time I was introduced to it. And when I say last week, of course, I mean last episode. It was probably 2 weeks ago, months after you guys have last heard it, probably. But you knew who Little Dicky was, didn't you,
yeah,
Sean?
Yeah. I'd found Little Dicky. When did I stumble across my Little Dicky?
How old were you when you first saw Little Dicky?
Yeah, when I first started playing Little Dicky,
when you started,
I think I was 11, maybe 10.
That's pretty old, actually.
No, I don't know. Actually,
I assume you've been younger. When did you first hear? So let's just get
sometime earlier this year or late last year? Quite recently.
Quite recently. So if you're like me, if you're stupid and ignorant like me and you have no idea who Lil Dicky is, he is a real rapper. This is Dave Bird created this show based on his life. So there's a lot of truth in what's written in the script is what's really happened to him in real life.
He's a satirical rapper.
Yes.
Yeah. He likes to rap about funny things and poke fun at himself and all sorts of things. Don't take him too seriously. He's not a gangster, that's for sure. But man, is he's really good at rhyming, that's for sure.
He's really good at rhyming. And he's very natural. He's a very natural and good actor, I feel like. He's got a very strong delivery. If this is who he is, this is who he is. But I think he's very natural in front of the camera.
I've got a note here. I like his unfiltered honesty. He's just kind of out there, and it's kind of hard to make fun of this guy when all he's kind of doing is making fun of himself. So you kind of just go along for the ride and laugh along with him. And he seems, like I said, very, very real, genuine. And he comes across as just what's on his mind, he says. And yeah.
Well, Sean, you mentioned why didn't he call this Lil Dicky? And this is
I can only assume that, you know, networks don't really like to promote a show called Lil Dicky.
No, wrong. No. Okay. Bad, Sean. Spray you with a water bottle. He wanted to be called Dave. So we paired this episode with the film CB4.
Brilliant Oscar-worthy film.
1993 film. And again, like I forgot about CB4. It had left my consciousness. And so when we were talking about what movie we were thinking, I was thinking about 8 Mile, because that's when I think about white rappers coming up and finding success. I thought of 8 Mile and 8 Mile.
Right.
And then you said, well, what about CB4? And I said, yes, of course, CB4. That was actually a film I'm sure we saw together.
Yeah, we saw it together in Palm Springs, actually.
Okay, you remember.
Yeah.
I have a terrible memory. Thank you for your memory.
Yeah, it's okay.
So it made perfect sense as soon as you said CB4. And as I was watching CB4, I'm like, oh, okay.
Sean make me watch this?
Or why did I pick this? But then I think, you know, by the time CB4 ends and it's, there's a lot of identity, like concept of identity within CB4. You've got Chris Rock playing.
Finding himself.
And there's this little like dilemma between like his character what's his character's name?
Chris Rock.
Yeah, Chris
Albert.
Rock. Albert. And what's his
Gusto.
MC Gusto. That's right.
MC Gusto. Right. And that's right. Yeah, Albert is his real name, and MC Gusto's his alter ego.
And within CB4, because we're gonna talk around this, we're gonna mix it up. Within CB4, there's like this dream sequence where he thinks about what he would look like in an old age home, still like being MC Gusto. And obviously, by the end of the movie, he comes to the point of where like he's no longer MC Gusto, he's Albert. And right. And when you hear Dave talk about this show, Dave Bird, now when we go back to Little Dicky, Dave is looking at his career, his trajectory of his career, and he's thinking like, okay, people know him as Little Dicky, but he's Dave. He wants people to know him as Dave now. He sees like the longevity of his career, and he knows that it can't be Little Dicky for the rest of his life. So it's right. A little bit of a transition for him to go from like superstar rapper, to superstar comedian, actor. I mean, he was always a comedian. He always came into this wanting to be a comedian.
Right. And just used Little Dicky just caught wind, and he just kind of used it to, skyrocket his career a little bit, or fast forward his career a little bit, or just it worked at the time. So he went with it, like how Sacha Baron Cohen has different characters, right?
Right.
You know, Little Dicky is just a character that Dave has in his arsenal, right?
Right. And he wants.
No, like, I know I'm right.
No, you're right. You're right. You were so right. And when people see him in the streets, he wants them to yell Dave.
More so
than Little Dicky, because that's who he is. Oh, okay. Who he represents, he feels like he is Dave and not Little Dicky as a person. And there's even like, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Do you think he shoot himself in the foot going with the whole Little Dicky thing, or do you think he's
no? I think that's the reality of where he is. I think that's who he is now, and he realizes that. That's how people know him now, and maybe he's trying to transition. From getting the glimpse of it, sounds like he wants to be transitioning, so people refer to him as Dave.
Kind of reminds me of a bit of his character's a bit of like a cross between almost like a Michael Scott and a Michael Cera kind of, I'd say. Maybe not so much Michael Scott, because Michael Scott's not really self-aware, whereas Dave Little Dicky is, but you know, maybe more so along the lines of like Michael Cera, where it's just that sort of always kind of quiet, not quiet, but just always kind of speaking and dropping lines all the time, and you know, just a dork, I guess, kind of. I don't know, he just really, his acting style kind of reminded me a bit of Michael Cera a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Just very smart, very fun line delivery. So he was a YouTube star, like, so Dave right. Bird came out, so he kind of had like an advertising job. But he was always writing comedy on the side. That's kind of what his passion was. And then he did all the, similar to the first episode, you realize that he's kind of like his girlfriend in the show. It's like, I've never heard you rap. I'm dating a rapper. I've never heard you rap. Well, that's true. In his real life, he kept like it very under wraps, his rapping. Okay. Goodbye, everybody. And he was spending all his time making music, keeping a low profile. And he wasn't even sharing it to the people he was close to. So when he kind of dropped, I guess, his first music video, Ex-Boyfriend, in April 25th, 2013, it became like, it had millions. It had like more than 1 million views in the first 24 hours of YouTube. And I think that was kind of where his career blossomed.
Right.
So ever since then, he's been making some pretty freaking funny music videos and music, I guess.
Yeah.
I went down the rabbit hole of kind of watching him on YouTube and stuff like that. I would definitely recommend if they can't get their hands on Dave right away, at least go on YouTube and Google and search Little Dicky. Yeah, Pillow Talking is, as I mentioned, the song is probably my favorite. I've watched that a couple of times now.
Is that the one with, what's his name? Chris,
Brown.
Yeah.
No, Freaky Friday. So he does.
Oh, that one's pretty funny.
Yeah,
too.
That one's really good too. That one's really good too.
He switches places with Chris Brown for the day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the Pillow Talking one actually has the same actress, Taylor Meshack, that's in the show. They met, she was cast as kind of the counterpart in this Pillow Talking. And then basically that's where they met, and they obviously had a lot of downtime between just hanging out because it's kind of a one shot in the bedroom. And then many years later she auditioned to play his girlfriend. She rubbed his belly.
Yeah.
I thought Taylor Meschack was amazing. I think actually all the actors in this
they
show
had a good chemistry.
Really
her and Dave, you know, they seemed like a real kind of
a real couple.
You know, light couple. Yeah. Seemed to get along. It was nice to see their chemistry on the small screen.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah. No, it worked.
And I liked how they played her with a lot of range too. Like I thought most of the characters actually pretty much, even in the first episode, I felt like we all got to see different sides of them, other than where I think we only really kind of saw one side of the Ginger. Andrew Santino's character, Mike, he was kind of a one, very sarcastic, just kind of hitting the one liners the whole time. This episode I watched a couple times last week. Really funny.
I really wanted to watch episode two, and you're like, no, don't. Just rewatch episode one. So I did. Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. This is Dave Bird's first show, other than acting on In Little Dickie music videos. Has he done any shows, or this is his starring show? Has he done any secondary roles on anything?
Not that I am aware of. Let's look that up, Sean. What a good question.
Not much. Just I see a lot of Little Dickie.
Little Dickie presents.
As Little Dickie. Yeah, no, he's done nothing but Little Dickie.
Yeah.
Well,
you think about he becomes an internet sensation in 2013, less than 10 years ago. I think this show took years to get. Obviously, I think like all TV, it doesn't happen overnight. I think between the time they shot the pilot to the time they got picked up through FX was a year. And then this came out March 2020. Do you know what else came out March 2020?
COVID-19.
COVID.
I think we all remember. Yeah. No, I haven't been at work since March 2020. Oh, yeah.
You were sent home.
And well, this is the first season that we're reviewing. And now Dave has gone into a second season now. Yeah. I imagine it's getting picked up for a third season.
Hopefully.
So we're a little bit behind the eight ball as far as that. But whatever. Better late than never, right?
Right. Thanks
to Jason.
Thank you, Jason. And Andrew Santino also has a podcast I recommend people checking out. It's called Whiskey Ginger. And he interviews comedians. It's pretty funny.
Oh, okay.
He's got one episode that's with Dave. And that one was recorded back in February 2020.
Does Dave have a podcast? I mean, his secondary cast all have podcasts. He doesn't have one.
I don't think he does. I think he's too busy rapping. He's too busy
rapping about his dickie.
He's too busy rapping with the dickie. Nice. I don't know. I don't know, Sean. I really enjoyed this. I really, thank you, Jason.
I did too.
I
liked it. I thought it was fun. It was light, kind of along the same vein as sort of like a Ted Lasso, you know? Just kind of lighthearted, following the tribulations of this guy without, I don't know, didn't get too deep on anything. You know what I mean? Just kind of kept it light on the surface. Is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some really good character moments, some really funny banter back and forth between characters. Interesting scenario Dave puts himself in trying to get this YG, who is a real rapper.
Okay, YG is a real...
A wheel wapper and a really nice boy. So wheel wapper.
Sure?
This is how ignorant I am with the whole hip-hop scene, but... it's a real rapper. I think this whole Chris Brown thing was maybe another example of Lil Dicky getting famous, like using the shoulders of a well-known rapper to kind of get himself noticed.
Right.
So maybe some parallels there with Freaky Friday.
He got Snoop Dogg on one of his tracks too. Yeah. I think he actually pitched himself to Snoop Dogg, I think is the story. I'm not too sure.
Well, he's got like a music video called Earth. I think it's called Earth.
Yeah, got Leo DiCaprio to do some stuff on that.
Supposedly he went to Leonardo DiCaprio's house every day for a month and was playing pickleball with him and just trying to convince him to be in this part, I guess, or not sure. But seems like a very ambitious dude, Lil Dave. Should we rate this shit?
Let's rate it.
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
All right, this is the part where we rate the episode. We give it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 jarps. 1 being and 5 jarps being this show is amazing. Sean, what do you, how many jarps do you give this?
How many jarps? Well, let me tell you.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed Little Dicky or Dave 4 short. I'll give it 3.5 on my jarp report. The episode was tight, the characters real. The content was light, but yet it made me feel for this dorky white guy with dreams so big to land the YG gangster with a 10K gig. Is he gonna get punked? What's he gonna do? It's time to fire up motherfucking episode 2. So thank you, Jason, for this hit. Little Dicky makes you laugh at the size of his dick. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I give it a 4.5.
You gave it a 4.5?
Yeah, boy.
Oh, wow. You really liked it.
I liked this episode. This is...
Oh, nice.
This is the...
Oh, this episode, right.
I like this episode. Yeah. I mean, I mean, hey. But my only question that I have, and again, this is maybe just for me.
Oh, you skipped predictions. We didn't even talk about predictions.
I didn't have any predictions for this.
I did. Why didn't you ask?
Okay. Well, how about this? First question. Will this be the best series we ever had on this podcast? That's my first question. Sean?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, because you like
yells. It'll be high up there, though. Hopefully. I think it'll sit high up there for
a while. Okay, Sean, what are your predictions for season 1 of Dickie? Of Dick. Of Brett Dave.
Well, I don't know. I guess I've got questions to throw you. Is this YG gangster going to come back from Europe and make good on his promise? And does it even matter at this point?
My guess is that he'll come back and make it better, but maybe not the way we expect. Like he'll provide something, but maybe not in the same way that Dave is expecting. Would be my guess.
Okay.
For whatever that means. Who knows?
I think Dave will get real head from his girlfriend, but he won't tweet about it.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
tweeting about it as Lil Dicky, but not Dave.
I just think he's gonna blow up. He's gonna, get a following, a fan base, more so than just the Instagram. And I think eventually by the end of the season, he'll have enough confidence that he'll do a stage performance.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't have really the stage confidence right now, but let's see as the season goes on and maybe end it with a bang.
Front of a live
yeah.
audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Let's see. We'll find out, won't we? Are you okay? You have a sore belly?
Yeah, it's okay. I shit my pants. There's a tangle.
Oh no.
Yeah, no, it's okay. We're at home on video. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Take your time. Sean's now taking the camera to the toilet. Yep, no, he made a mess. He's cleaning out his drawers. Temperature check. This is where we look back at the shows that we have brought forward within this podcast, and we all take responsibility to continue watching certain ones. Sometimes we watch them together, I don't know, which ones do we watch together? Definitely Mosquito Coast. We watched
Mosquito Coast. We both did that one.
I know there's a couple. There's usually a couple that we're always like super psyched.
You finished Sweet Tooth. I just finished Sweet Tooth.
Oh, okay, there you go. You didn't really like it.
I didn't mind it, but I was disappointed that it didn't wrap up. I know it's going for a second season. I get it. If it's doing well and it makes money, why stop the money train?
Netflix money
but
train.
I didn't hear too much about it. I never really heard anybody other than us ever talk about it or bring it up.
Right.
My
neighbor at one point was like, "Yeah, I turned on the Sweet Tooth because he thought he was watching it with his kid, who I think his kid's like 6." But then because it does get pretty violent.
Well, it's R rated. Yeah. Well, it's M. Yeah. So
I think it comes across as like, "Oh, a family show," and they're like, "Oh, wait, no, cover your eyes."
Yeah. It wasn't bad. Certainly, if I had to go back and rate the whole, I believe I gave episode 1 a 4. I think if I had to go back and rate the whole series, I certainly wouldn't give the whole thing a 4. No.
Okay.
I kind of wish some of these series would just wrap up. And instead, if I felt like it dragged, you know, like not a lot of progress was being made, or it was just kind of rinse, recycle, repeat for a couple episodes. And yeah, I just, yeah, yeah. Wished it wrapped up. Sometimes I wish they just end on a good note and keep the story nice and tight and end it. But no, sometimes
they kind of brought everyone together, but yeah, they didn't really, there's a lot more of the story to go for sure.
Yeah. And the villain, I didn't care so much for the villain. I found him really one dimensional, you know, he was just supposed to be some kind of,
but his quirky mustache.
Yeah. Polite. You know, he you know, was very polite, yet he was very sinister, you know, kind of, yeah, I don't know. And he just kind of came out of nowhere. You don't really know his motivations and all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, just for how long they dragged out the season one, they could have given him a little bit more substance, but yeah. Tell us about Shadow and Bone, Russ. Come on.
Sean, I've been like, I've been diving in.
Did you?
I think I'm in episode, I might even be on episode 7 now.
I like how you say, I think, and you have no idea.
Well, because I've literally watched 3 episodes, like since like last podcast, I didn't watch any of them. And now I'm doing the marathon.
That's kind of what I did with Sweet Tooth. Yeah. I just pulled my pants up and did it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you didn't even have to. I did it already, but you.
No, it wasn't too bad. Yeah.
No, I'm trying to get through this. Actually, I maybe because I'm just pulling up my pants and just diving right in here, I'm kind of enjoying Shadow and Bone more than I have been when I was just watching one episode at a time every 2 weeks. But it is, it's kind of like it's starting to bring characters together. It's starting to really like, it's really questioning who can be trusted and who can't. But I have to remember it's a young adult type story, so it's not necessarily for me. I'm not saying give it a hard pass, but if you're interested, it's definitely an interesting world that they set up. So
now, have they explained the floating boats?
The floating boats, no, not yet. No. But I would assume it's because of magic.
I imagine so.
The Grisha, which are the wizards, no magic.
Not magnets, but magic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're a Grisha, Harry. And heels, Sean. Heels.
Heels. Yeah, no. I've just done one other episode, episode 2. It bit of spoiler alert. Earmuffs.
Spoilers,
anybody?
Spoilers for heels. Episode 2.
I won't really go on the content as far as what episode 2 is about, because honestly, it was kind of boring and a letdown. Yeah. My wife actually fell asleep while we're watching it, and I'm normally the one that falls asleep first, so that just goes to tell you something. It's okay, but no, episode 2, it just really dragged, and I was like, oh man. And yeah, a little disappointing there too. So
there we go.
Yeah,
they can't all be Daves.
They can't all be Daves and Yellowstones and Dash and Lily. They can't all be Dash and Lily, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to cut that to make the joke better. Here we go. This is Media Rewind. We've already let you know that we're talking about CB4 1993, directed by Tamra Davis.
Oh, starring, nice.
Nice, nice director. She was a music video director. She married Mike D from the Beastie Boys.
Oh, sweet.
She also directed Billy Madison, classic, and Half Baked. And
she married Mike D, so that means that Screech is her brother-in-law.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Screech from Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, Mike D and Screech from Saved by the Bell are brothers.
I had no idea.
Michael Diamond and...
So that's a brother-in-law. That's what you said, right? Brother-in-law.
Yeah, so she would be Screech's sister... In-law. Because she married his brother.
Right.
Right.
Interesting. I didn't know
that.
Yeah. And he's in jail, Screech. Is he?
Dustin Diamond?
Dustin Diamond? I thought he went to jail. Is he dead? Maybe he's dead.
No. He's still kicking around.
Because there is a Saved by the Bell reboot. I do not think he's in it.
No, because he wrote a book and threw everybody under the bus pretty much. And then so much so that he had to come back and like, apologize to a bunch of them. I don't know. I think he was hurting for money and he wrote a juicy book trying to make some quick cash.
I'm
and he ended up hurting his friends. in the process.
Where is Dustin Diamond? I'm Googling, where is Dustin Diamond?
Where is Dustin Diamond now?
And then Google wants me to complete the sentence by saying buried. Where is Dustin Diamond buried? I don't want to say buried, unless he's dead, of course.
CB4, Chris Rock's not his first movie, but this might be his first starring role, hey? I would assume this was. You're still looking for something.
No, I was, because now I'm concerned that Dustin Diamond is dead.
Why do you Google, is Dustin Diamond dead?
Well, because Rolling Stones, Dustin Diamond, dead at 44 last year, 2021. I think he's dead.
No, did
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
After rest in peace, Dustin Diamond.
Yeah, best known for lovable Samuel Screech powers on the hit NBC sitcom Saved by the Bell, has died. Looks like stage
at
4
44.
Lung cancer.
Oh, jeez.
After battle with stage 4 lung cancer. Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Cigarettes, nasty.
Sorry.
CB4.
CB4, Chris Rock. Phil Hartman, Alan Payne, Deezer D. Yeah, I think this is probably his first big film as far as a lead, his first lead. So he was, remember he played that like...
Yeah, he was the crackhead in New Jack City.
Yes, good job. And before
and
that...
I believe Isaac Hayes was in New Jack City as well.
As well, yeah. He'd been on Saturday Night Live, he'd been on In Living Color. He was obviously a comedy guy and known for his comedy. I guess he stood out in New Jack City as far as his dramatic role as a crackhead. And then through similar to, I guess, how Adam Sandler got Billy Madison, Chris Rock got CB4.
Mm. Sorry, it was Alan Payne is who was in New Jack City as well.
So
Isaac Hayes, isn't he... Chef.
Yeah.
Where was he in this movie?
I don't know, but it said that
Isaac Hayes, an intermit movie
database, it says that he's in it. I do not recall seeing him.
I don't recall him either. I think they could gas him from that for
maybe
sure.
They cut him. I don't know. Chris Rock.
Someone you didn't mention who's in it is Chris Elliott.
Right, of course.
Chris, he's not very funny in it, though. He just has kind of. I've got a note here. I felt he's very underused in this movie. He doesn't have really any funny parts. And the guy's so funny.
So here's the thing. I feel like they did the same thing to him in Schitt's Creek. Like, I felt like they didn't utilize him. Yeah, they didn't utilize him. Like, his character was so bad in Schitt's Creek. And it almost like they realized that in later seasons. And they almost like kind of wrote him out of the show. I've never seen any promotion with Chris Elliott for Schitt's Creek. Like if you Google Schitt's Creek, it's always Dan and his dad or the kids or whatever.
I didn't really get into it. I watched the first couple episodes. My wife got into it. But when I saw Chris Elliott and him in the credits on the first episode, I got all excited because I think Chris said it's friggin' hilarious, man.
So what do you think? Is it something about Mary? Where's Chris Elliott?
Something about Mary. And he used to have an old show on Fox. I forget what it was called. Mm-hmm. Was it just called The Chris Elliott Show?
Probably.
All the Fox shows called whoever the comedian was? You know, it was the Martin Lawrence Show or the Chris Elliott Show or the Bernie Mac Show. You know what I mean? It's just whoever. Roseanne, you know, it's just whoever the comedian is.
Get a Life. It was called Get a Life.
Get a Life. Okay.
It was called Get a Life. You're right.
I remember that being quite funny.
Yeah.
His little shitty characters along the way, you know? Yeah. I think he's just that.
Let's see. Get a Life. CB4. Groundhog Day, right? Groundhog Day. He was the other like film crew, wasn't he? Like he was the producer or something.
Was he his cameraman?
I think he was the cameraman.
Yes. Andy McDowell's cameraman.
Yes. So yeah. Probably.
Who he probably got more famous later on from the Dave Chappelle Show. Charlie Murphy is in this movie.
He plays the
MC Gusto. He passed away as well. Speaking of people that passed away, I believe Charlie Murphy passed away as well.
I didn't realize that. Not too long ago.
Phil Hartman, another great comedian in this movie, who has passed away as well.
Everyone is
a psychopath
away.
Wife. Jeez,
did she kill him? What was that?
Yeah, didn't Phil Hartman's wife kill him, didn't she?
That sounds
she?
Familiar. And then she, like a double kind of murder-suicide kind of thing?
Probably, yeah.
Probably, like...
Well, I mean, that's how they all...
Oh, is
most
it?
Most of them end. I don't know. You know, I have so much experience with that, so...
Oh, I hope not. That would be terrible. Like I mentioned before, I had totally forgot about this movie. You reminded me. We watched it.
I didn't forget about it. I still quote this movie all the time, little things.
Video is the one thing.
The bagheads. I'll put like a box on my head and then in front of my little girls. And then I'll do the bagheads. And I totally forgot. I still would sing that to this day. And I forgot that that's from CB4. This movie wasn't as funny as I thought it was or used to be, eh?
Yeah,
it was. I was excited to watch this, and then we started watching it, and I'm like, it's not as funny.
Jokes don't hold up.
No. I just kind of ripped through it.
I didn't mind. To me, it got actually funnier within the last half an hour. I think when I kind of remembered the bits, like the whole sex scene bit, where they show like the
The contrast between the experienced guy and then him who's got zero sexual experience and he's trying to make love to this woman who's taking him for quite a ride.
It was just great. And I think, and then when I, and I was kind of getting a little like embarrassed that I was watching it because some of the references are pretty old and outdated and not very nice, but I think they do kind of redeem themselves. I think it is, it is a movie with a message a little bit in regards to
at the end it has a moral to it, right? So you can't completely write the movie off, right? So it tried to tell a story, right?
It was just not as funny as we remember.
I think as 14 year olds we thought this movie was a lot funnier.
So again, when you think about the identity of rappers, and you see the characters represented by Chris Rock, and then also Dave, known with his alias Lil Dicky, there's real rappers in CB4, and what do you think these rappers, the career longevity of those rappers were in rap versus being actually celebrities and movie stars. So you've got Ice-T. Ice-T, what do you think Ice-T does now?
He's an actor. Ice-T's been on CSI.
Law and Order.
Law and Order forever now.
Yeah, Special Victims Unit, 21 years.
21 years. Wow, that is a long time.
It's a long time to be on a show. Ice Cube.
Holy cow. Ice Cube. These guys, I mean, but it's like they even noted in the movie. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know where these guys came from or what they did in their past growing up and all that, but it's like, you know, and they even see in the Straight Outta Compton, you know, how they embellish a little bit, you know, or quite a bit in some circumstances. Maybe again, I'm not going to pretend to know where these guys grew up or how it was or blah 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 blah. But what I'm getting at is, and what they made point in this movie is that it's a form of entertainment, right? And especially there's sort of an unspoken knowing that this is embellishment, you know, these guys aren't going around shooting people up. Well, maybe some of them are. I don't know.
It's just a form
of entertainment. It's showmanship, right? And these guys were good at it rapping as kids, so their careers have been easily, and probably being on stage really helped, have transferred into acting careers, right?
Right. Well, and you think about like in the same like comedians sometimes too, or actors. Or actually maybe more so comedians, like you've got these, and maybe these guys grew up in the streets and obviously seen some shit and can rap about it. But then once they become famous, they become millionaires. They become, you know, they no longer have the same struggles that they could rap about.
They don't need to resort to being a pimp a drug dealer or whatever.
So again, if you're going to lose that kind of street sense or that street, like that's another reason to kind of maybe transition yourself away from a hardcore rapper and maybe look at other ways of entertainment.
Right, because once they got famous and some money, like they're not going back to their old ways, right?
They got Ferraris in the garage and there's not much, a lot of shit.
Ice-T's going back to, he used to be a pimp, eh?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not that that's funny, but Just funny that he used to be a
part of where he came
from.
And
now he's, you know, then he became a rapper, and now he became a, you know, his go to is acting as a police officer on TV, you know, right. Yet leading all up to that, all he did was, you know, he had a whole album about called Cop Killer, you know what I mean? So,
well, he played a cop, I think, in that
New Jack City,
in the New Jack City as well.
Yeah.
I just watched the YouTube videos of just Chris Rock. I just Googled New Jack City, Chris Rock, drug addict, and just watched those.
Oh, yeah. They pay homage to it in the CB4 here. There's a scene where he picks up the crack, and it's kind of filmed the same way they filmed the New Jack City scene where he's getting high on crack.
Okay.
Did you miss that?
Think I missed that, I guess.
Oh, yeah. So he's down and out in CB4 at one point here, and there's a bit of a montage, and he picks up a crack pipe, and he just goes to do it. And he's like, no. And it is a total, if you've seen New Jack City, it was a total ripoff of what he did in New Jack City. So.
And he knew his audience.
He kind of disappeared for a while after this. Chris Rock, you find that he sort of had an early spike to his career. Then I felt like he dropped off for almost like 10 years or so.
I think he probably does the Adam Sandler stuff.
Slowly kind of came back. He hosted the Oscars and then started doing more acting and stuff like that. And why do I feel that? Why do I feel like he kind of dropped off?
Maybe he just didn't do anything that was hitting your sensibilities. But I don't know. You look at internet.
Maybe database, like I see this. No real... He got this Everybody Hates Chris, did four seasons on Fox, and I'm sure he produced that. So maybe.
Yeah, I think like Emil, when we were looking at Emil Estevez or something like that, like he literally took like a 10-year break, and he's got no credits during a certain point, probably looking after Charlie. But like I think, you know, Chris is busy. He's got something every year.
He's produced, executive produced a new Saw movie called Spiral, which will be coming out. And I believe he's acting in it too.
I think it's out. I think it already came out.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think it's out. It's
hit the theaters.
I assume maybe it wasn't as good because no one talked about it, but
yeah,
it doesn't exist.
So yeah, CB4. Not as funny as I thought it was or remember it being as a kid. No. Maybe best to leave the CB4. Back in the memory banks.
Video.
Keep it back in the memory banks.
Memory. Don't go back.
Don't go back. It ruins it a bit.
Sean, I was wondering if you would like to do a little trivia with me. Just generic trivia.
You know it.
I've been thinking about. I've been shooting around one question for a while, so I've kind of created three. But so here's just nothing to do with what we're talking about today. So here's some generic trivia for you. Okay. Are you familiar with the actress Zoe Saldana?
Yes.
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 Okay. Can you name all the film franchises she's been a part of?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Ding. She was on Westworld.
Nope. That is incorrect.
Oh, no, you're right. I'm getting her mixed up with that other girl. No, Russ, that's about all I can do. It's Guardians of the Galaxy. She, as far as franchises...
That's what I'm asking. I'm asking, like, franchise?
I don't know.
What if I was to say that she's part of some of the biggest movie franchises ever?
I don't doubt that.
You still nothing? Nothing?
I'm trying to think of the big franchises like Star Wars and all that, and I don't see where she fits in.
Well, there is Star Wars, that's for sure.
She's in Star Wars.
No, but I'm just saying that there is a world, there is a film franchise called
Star Wars. There's a world called Star Wars?
You know, there is a world.
Going. You know, there is to it.
I'm just saying there, like some people are Star Wars fans, and other people are...
Star Trek fans.
That's right. So she was in the film franchise Star Trek.
Oh, that's right. She was in Star Trek.
She was in Star Trek. And sometimes in movies, she puts like on a lot of makeup. And so in Marvel, she's green. Sorry, right. In the Marvel universe, she's green. Cinematic universe, she's green. In another universe, she's blue.
Hmm. Avatar.
That's right.
And Avatar.
One more film franchise. She was in the first film, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes. She was one of the Jack's pirates crew.
So I think I rewatched Pirates of the Caribbean recently, and with the kids. And when I recognized her, I was like, man, she's really done well for herself in regards to like hitting every almost major film franchise in the last ten years.
At least getting a bit part, right?
Well, I mean, bit part only in Pirates. Every other one, she's huge.
Yeah.
Okay, so Samuel L. Jackson was not in which of those movies? He was not in, was it Goodfellas, Patriot Games, Coming to America, or Boys in the Hood? Which movie was he not in?
Patriot Games.
He wasn't in Patriot Games. He wasn't in Boys in the Hood.
Are you sure he wasn't? I'm thinking Menace to Society. Shit. He was in Menace to Society.
Okay, I got one more. I got one more for you. Okay, I'm going duped. Going back to maybe I never left because Samuel Jackson's in the Marvel movies. How many Oscar-winning actors can you tell me that also played Marvel villains in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
That also played Marvel villains?
Yes.
Oscar? No, I can't.
You can't name any of them.
Well, I don't know. Would Robert Redford be considered a villain?
Ding.
A villain. Villain.
Robert Redford played Alexander Pierce in the... the Captain America film.
He won
an Oscar for Ordinary People.
No, I cannot.
No.
Marvel villains.
Oscar
winning Marvel villains.
Yeah.
Why is this so tough?
Their role.
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
Ding. Jeff Bridges from
Iron Man
1.
Obadiah Stave. I think Steve. I don't. Ironmonger. He played Ironmonger.
Mickey Rourke win an Oscar?
I think when he did The Wrestler,
he was nominated.
He got some Oscar buzz, but he did not win an Oscar.
I think. Wild at Heart? No, what was the.
Jeff Bridges is Wild at Heart. Yes, he won an Oscar for Wild at Heart. Or Crazy Heart.
Crazy Heart. No, Wild at Heart is older, and I believe with Mickey Rourke, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And Laura Dern, I think. I don't know. I think that one got Oscar buzz. Anyways, okay. Then let's go off. What's his name?
Yeah.
Ben Kingsley.
Yes, of course.
And I'm going off. I'm kind of going off the Iron Man's here.
Yeah, stay with the Iron Man. There you go. Think of the films. Yeah. So he played Trevor Slate, the fake Mandarin in Iron Man 3.
Okay, bad guys.
Best actor for Gandhi. You could stick with Iron Man 3. You could head over to a Thor movie.
Oh, with Anthony Hopkins. Oh, he's not a villain though.
He's not a villain.
Oh, okay. No, I feel like I'm gonna drag out the podcast
Kate Blanchett, Oscar winning for the Aviator.
Right, for Ragnarok.
For Ragnarok, Hela. William Hurt, who is in quite a lot of the different movies as General
Ross.
Yeah.
I guess I don't really think of him as a bad guy because he worked for the government.
I guess so, but he is kind of The government is bad. He's kind of an antagonist when it comes to the Avengers.
Yeah, he doesn't really help them much, does he?
No. He tries to control them. And there will be an evolution of his character eventually if the cinematic universe stays truthful to the comics. Sam Rockwell is also in Iron Man 3, winner. Oscar Award winner from Three Billboards, Billboards to Missouri.
Oh, that movie's so good.
Oh, you didn't
have
like
seen that
movie? Yeah, it's good.
You didn't like it?
No, I really liked it. It sounded like
you were being sarcastic. So good in that movie.
Yeah. He's really good in everything.
I love his character arc in that movie. It's great.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and then, it is crazy. He does like a total 180 almost, and then
So I think you got him right. The only other ones are Benicio del Toro, who is kind of a bad guy, kind of not, who plays the Collector. And Christian Bale will be in the new Thor coming up. So he's
he'll be a bad guy.
Yeah, spoiler.
They've got Christian Bale in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, he's going to be a big guy in Thor, Love and Thunder. He'll be the bad. He'll be one of the bad ends in that.
Sweet.
Yeah, and then I guess Jamie Foxx, but he's not, I don't really consider from the old Spider-Man. But you know, who knows? Who knows who is going to be in the new Spider-Man No Way Home?
Yeah, movie. lots of speculation
as we head into the speculation. Multiverse. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Sean, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
All right. We don't that's all. Thanks thanks so much, everybody. Remember to give us a score on Apple, send us an email for jarppodcast@gmail.com. Maybe go to our Instagram account, jarp_podcast, and
You should.
I'm not gonna tell you what to do. I'm gonna put some of those quizzes on the Jarp podcast and see the same ones that we did tonight. I'm gonna do it and see if anyone answers. But yeah, that's all I got, man.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast.